Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Welcome to Crime Gonna. Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Branding.
Coop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coop-a-loop.
With Coop and Joel.
I am happy to be here once again. This is another part of my week that I'm starting to look forward to every week. These stories are fun.
Right?
I mean, they're terrifying.
The worst shit. Because I really wanted to get you guys involved. And I was like, hey. Decapitation? And Coop was
yes,
I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm excited about this show yet. Mm. I'm still processing Joel. The last episode.
Right.
Joel has a soft heart. He hasn't become cold and jaded.
Yeah, we put him off camera.
Yeah, I'm over here now.
So Joel's new role is to ask questions like, the head was totally cut off? Right?
Yeah.
And just kind of reiterate that sort of stuff.
Did they die?
Wait, are they still alive, though? Sweet, sweet Joel. You are the heart and soul of this show.
Thank you, Coop, Jesse. And I are dead inside, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dead inside.
Totally
yeah.
numb.
Black heart and dead inside. And we love this shit. So anyway.
It's the only way I can feel anything these days.
I know.
The worse, the better.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Jeez.
No, it's here.
That's a little dark.
Yeah. Okay, so this is part two of the Curse of the Stainer Brothers, basically.
Yeah, should we do a quick recap of what we did last week?
I think so. So this is Carrie Stainer, or the Yosemite Killer, or the Yosemite Park Killer.
Yosemite Killer has a much better ring to it.
Yeah, well, I don't know
just
why.
Shorten it up. You don't need the extra. Everybody knows what Yosemite is.
Anyways, they both did. So this is part two. In part one, we talked about Stephen Stainer. We covered the Stephen Stainer saga to refresh your guys' memory. Stephen Stainer was abducted in Merced, California, when he was 7 years old by Kenneth Parnell, sicko, and was raised as his son. I mean, abused every day, but basically as a real fucked up version of father
potato,
and son.
Potato, potato.
I know.
It was the '70s. It was a different time.
Who among us doesn't have that situation?
He was being raped the whole time.
Thank you, Joel.
Everybody makes mistakes with their. Everybody makes mistakes with their first child, Joel. It's a learning process.
It was just the first one.
That's why Parnell was trying to get another child.
Do we know if that was his first one?
First one that he was caught with.
Interesting. Caught. But yeah, because
that's a good question.
As we named the last episode, all the 70s, you never know because our ability to catch, track, cell phones, all of this shit.
Well, not only that.
GPS.
Kids are disappearing left and right back in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're running away to join the circus. They're running away to get murdered by hobos. They're running away and getting abducted. A lot of bad things happened
right.
to kids in the 70s.
Right. Before this. So Stephen Stainer was abducted in Merced, California. But basically, yeah, he was raised as Parnell's son. And then he was returned to his family. He escaped, but he was returned to his family when he was 14. And the media circus surrounding this event was massive and ongoing for a long time. It was one of those things, like with all the 70s, where, I mean, they were interviewing him at his school. There was no boundaries. They completely covered this kid when he came back. So I would also like to point out that besides some understandable substance abuse, Stephen Stainer was, by all accounts, a wonderful husband, father, and activist, educating children and families on the dangers of child abduction and how to avoid it. And he kind of changed the whole narrative, which, you know, sorry, pedophiles.
Really screwed up
there.
It's
going to be harder for you now. We've
smoking,
got...
Smoking,
token, jacking. Smoking, token, jacking, jerking, motorcycle.
Boom!
you've got to tune in. Basically, yeah. You have to watch the other episodes.
Yeah.
You're going to be a little bit lost if you're just watching
it. It's episodic, but there's also just an underlying storyline of our lives.
Yeah.
Underneath.
And we kind of want you to know about us. So I'm not sure if the curse of the Stainer family, the Stainer brothers, is a story of, like, nurture versus nature.
That's exactly what I was thinking, right? When I was reading about it.
I'm, like, slurring already, you guys.
Like, what is the... How much of this is nature? How much of this is nurture?
Right.
Because some of it is definitely nurture. But as we'll find out about Carrie Stainer, some of that could have definitely been nature.
This may be a... discounting the nurture part. Like, this could be a case of full-on nature,
yeah.
I feel like.
I think it could, too.
And we also talked in the last episode about a butterfly effect. Like, maybe certain things caused him to... Sorry, Joel. Do some real bad things. Joel, I'm sorry. It's going to be some bad stuff coming up. It will be in the end, but it's some bad stuff.
Okay.
So the question is...
It'll be okay. It's all over and done with.
Two brothers, right? One gets abducted, abused, horrible situation for 7 years, and comes out an amazing person.
Yeah.
The other kid left behind, neglected, in the shadow, I don't know.
That definitely seemed like it was the case, is after Stephen Stainer disappeared, I think we made jokes about it on the last episode,
yeah.
That it was like, oh, the wrong kid died.
Is that...
That's
what it is.
That's really like, that's the way that his father was treating Carrie Stainer during Stephen Stainer's disappearance, is he was much more critical of Carrie. He didn't like Carrie as much as he liked Stephen.
Yeah, and he let Carrie know that, which was nice of him.
Yeah.
He would go, like we said, go into his room, hold, like, Stephen's shirt, and just cry into it right in front of...
He could do that in a completely separate room on his own time. That was all performative.
It was performative. It was to let him know straight up, like, wrong kid, Dad. okay, so now we can get into the story. Since you guys know and you watched the last episode, you know what we're talking about. We can get into the story of Carrie Stainer, including the abduction of his brother. So Carrie Stainer was born August 13th, 1961, and was the oldest of five children. When he was 11, his brother Stephen was abducted. Carrie later said this affected him in many ways. He felt neglected, overshadowed. He recalled going outside. Now look. We don't know. There's so many different articles. I'm sure you read a bunch that, like, had a lot of different things. There was someone, the writer of the movie, I Know My Name is Stephen, we know now, took some real liberties with the story. So
he made his own interpretation of the story.
Yes, and, like, was very dramatic. So he says that Carrie told him that he went outside every night on a clear night, wished on a star. For his brother to come home. You know?
I honestly don't know how much I believe that. I believe
he was
ripping out his own hair on a regular basis.
Yes. Now, that was when he was... So, we could blame this incident of his brother getting abducted on the evils, which we've already talked about. But there was actually a lot of weird shit from way earlier that we can point to. At age... 3, he was diagnosed with trichotillomania, which is the disorder where you pull out your hair from your head, leaving bald spots.
Oh, that started at age 3?
3. Isn't that crazy?
I thought that didn't start until after Stephen went missing.
No. So, and that's most people, it's usually girls, and they're usually, as far as statistically, they're usually diagnosed at like 13 to 16, and it's usually girls. So he was diagnosed at 3. This kid had
crazy.
From day one, essentially. A 3-year-old is when you're like just now becoming a person. Already had this crazy nervous tic and just some shit going on.
So he was fucked up before his brother got kidnapped.
Yes.
Yeah,
interesting.
Interesting, and maybe the kidnapping pushed it over the edge, but it was a lot.
Quick little side tangent. If you see that your child is displaying traits that... So pulling out their hair, that's one thing. You don't necessarily assume that that's going to turn into something lethal for other people, or it's going to make them turn into a criminal.
It's weird, though.
But if they're pulling out their hair and they're mutilating animals and wetting their bed to a late age, like all the, you know, the
classics.
I have
all
those.
The superheroes.
I had all those traits when I was young.
You did not.
Well, see, this is the nature versus nurture debate.
I didn't mutilate animals, though.
Okay.
But I did kill a couple.
That's, I feel like you're splitting hairs there.
I didn't, like, enjoy it.
What'd you do?
I killed a bunny once. I was playing catch with it. Well, it was innocent.
Joel.
Because the bunnies hop.
We should cut this out.
Bunnies jump, right?
Sure.
So I had a bucket, and I was throwing the bunny in the air and catching it in the bucket because they jump to make it jump higher.
Okay.
And then it died in the bucket, and I was like, what the fuck? Why is it dead?
It's a Lenny. That's a Lenny cinch.
I like how he's just casually disregarding his part of the situation, just died in the bucket.
Yeah, it was like the
it was
bunny.
It was the fall that killed him.
Nowhere.
I cried after, and I ran to my mom and was like, "The bunny's dead." And she was like, "Well, you were fucking throwing it and catching it in a bucket, idiot."
Joel.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer cried after murders.
A bunny would have to fall in a bucket.
Well,
die.
It took a lot of times.
Oh,
I had a friend.
Part.
We were like. It was like playing catch with it. Yeah, it was not good.
With the buckets.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there must be a statute of limitations on animal cruelty, so he's probably safe.
Yeah.
Well,
I was like 8.
Safe. Okay. And is that it?
That was the only time, yeah.
Okay.
I learned.
Okay.
I learned my lesson.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I have to learn things the hard way, you know?
Still a little upsetting.
I've only killed one person.
Sure.
Did it once.
Yeah.
And I learned my lesson.
Learned your lesson. A la OJ, right?
Yeah.
Poor OJ, right? He did it one time.
Has not been confirmed. He was exonerated. As far as I'm concerned, he is an innocent angel.
We do say on the show that poor OJ, right? He got a bad rap. So
cool story though, right?
Joel.
Yeah.
Joel,
that's one way to put it.
Joel. And you wet the bed too?
Yeah.
You're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Till a later age?
Oh yeah.
Like what?
No, he got over that like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys lived together. Was he?
Well, I stopped wetting the bed around junior high.
What the fuck?
Sixth grade.
What the fuck?
Then he started drinking again.
And then I started drinking again. So about like my sophomore year in high school, I started wetting the bed again, but that was from drinking.
Coop, but sixth grade is late, don't you think?
Yeah, because
it might not have been that long.
It's usually considered late if it's like between the ages of 5 and
I was like 10
eight.
Or 11, yeah.
My kid's 8. He hasn't wet the bed in a couple years, yeah.
Well, it got less and less, mm-hmm. You know? Like, it was every night, and then it was, like, once a week, and then it was, like, once a month, and then...
Look, we appreciate your candor.
Yeah. And then now it's just on special occasions.
We appreciate your candor.
Yeah. Birthdays and anniversaries.
We really do.
I think Joel might be a serial killer.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why we put him in the shadows? He was like, oh, I'll go in the shadows. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, no problemo.
I live my life in the
shadows. Yeah, yeah, I got it. Anyways.
I know where you all sleep.
Yeah. Anyways, also his sisters talked about Carrie being sexually inappropriate with their friends. On one occasion when his sister's 14-year-old, I did double-sided loser, 14-year-old friend was sleeping over, Carrie crawled under her cot. Rich, they have a cot. Yeah, and
fancy.
I know. I had to sleep on the ground. You?
Yeah. I slept outside with the dogs.
I never went to someone's house and had a cot.
Oh,
but well, anyway.
Let me guess. They had blankets, too?
I know. Woo! Falutin. But anyways, under her cot and touched her breast. And when she told him to stop, like, crawled under the cot and then, reached around. And I mean, it's clever.
Look. In my opinion, he didn't have to be under the cot to do that.
You could just, literally stand over. But I think he wanted to, the element of surprise. These serial killers, I don't know. Joel would know better than us, huh?
Hey, not all bedwetters are serial killers, okay?
Yes, they are. Yep. We actually have, a three-prong. We'll go through it later. But there's a three-prong surefire.
The what do they call it? The deadly triad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I only have two.
Joel has two already.
What's the third one? Maybe I just haven't been triggered yet to actually start killing.
Well, it's definitely not a head injury.
Oh. Yeah.
I've got a lot of head injuries.
Okay. All right. We better get through this real quick. We are alone in the office with Joel. So then when she said, no, bro, go away, he decided to come back and stand in the doorway naked. Do you know what I mean? Are you sure? Right?
That's going a little...
What about this?
Maybe just tone it down a little bit. Play it cool.
Yep.
You got to wait until at least, day two or day three to start giving him unrequested nudes.
Right. Or, she says no. Wait till she's asleep. No. But what movie is that? It's asking for $100, being turned down, and then asking for $500 instead, right? But he tried to touch her boob. She said no. He goes, how about this, right? It's you're upping it. He's
a
weirdo.
Okay, if I can't touch your boob, can we just have sex?
Can I just, you want to just touch it? No. Fucking no. And the age difference is, it's 16 to 14, so it's not insane, but it's still real weird.
Yeah.
For your brother to be doing with your friends, right?
Yeah, very, very weird.
And inappropriate, sure.
Ballsy, though.
What?
Ballsy.
Oh, we got to give it to him, huh?
Yeah. He's got some confidence.
At least he tried.
Respect. Respect.
No.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
So true.
Fuck.
Some articles I read talked about him saying that he heard voices that he had to drown out with pot. Which is going to come up later. So
he heard voices.
So here he was hearing voices, kind of like
I don't hear crazy voices. Does that make me not a serial
killer?
It's
not a three prong. That's not part of it. You can still be a serial killer.
No, if you don't hear voices, I think that makes you deaf.
Oh. Yeah, you hear our voice, right? Okay.
That's not
I don't
funny.
Hear any voices. Carrie was also a gifted artist. And was in the talented and gifted class in high school, which I learned from my child and my husband that it's not actually genius class, which I thought it was.
Oh, the gifted class?
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was oh my God, they're
gifted
geniuses.
In quotes.
So it's not that. It's actually kids that are bright-ish, but not able to work well with others. And not able to deal with a traditional classroom. So,
also known as sociopaths.
Yes. there has been a couple of classroom shootings in the talented and gifted classes.
Hmm.
Some real awesome people coming from those. But
I'm sure there's no correlation there.
No, there must be none. But I think that's
important.
I thought
the gifted was the retard class.
Well, that's
they,
one
they
way
share
to put
the
it.
Same class?
It's kind of what we're saying. In oh. that, like, I
You're
always
insinuating
thought...
that.
I don't know. Did you guys think that in school where it was like, oh, they're in the gifted class, right?
I don't think that I had a gifted class at my school at a young age. I got put in the bad kids class when I was in high school, but before that...
It was called special.
I think I might have... I think I might have been in the gifted class.
Special, but no.
Special ed, yeah. Special
there's
ed
special
class.
Ed, but then there's also TAG, basically, is what they call it. Talented and gifted. And my
were you in
kid.
That?
No.
No.
I
does
was,
she look
I didn't
talented
do,
or gifted?
I, thank you. I didn't do well, but I was able to, like, fly under the radar. Talented and gifted is for kids that are just, like, they just really cannot. You can tell, the teacher can tell that they have something there and they are smart, but they're just not able
just
to, like, socially assimilate in the same way.
That actually is the thing about
that makes sense.
The talented and gifted class. There's a really very strong connection between a high IQ and having socialization issues.
So that's the genesis of it. I think maybe a couple people get through the cracks, right? That are
carry.
One or two.
That are not just, and maybe my husband and my kid, I don't know. But anyway.
But they utilize it well.
Yes.
That's
there's some people that are like, yes, this is better. I'm with a bunch of weirdos, and we can all be like weirdos together, and it's a different curriculum, and they work with you in different ways. But I just think it's important to point out that Carrie was in the same class that Ross was. Anyway. I'm just saying. But anyway. We also know when he was 7, he started, did you hear this? He started having fantasies about killing women.
Yes.
At 7.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And he admits this?
Yeah. So we find this all out later when he's actually caught, and then they do all, you know, they do all kinds of interviews and stuff.
Mm.
Now, while this could be one of those situations of an unreliable narrator, I think that he was probably being pretty honest about that, because the way that he described the fantasies, and even describing the exact moment that he had the first fantasy, was very descriptive.
Yes. To where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because the
that was real.
First fantasy that he had was he was sitting in, I think he was sitting in a grocery store parking lot, and he was fantasizing about kidnapping and tying up the the checkers from the grocery store.
The fuck?
And having those fantasies at that age, that's...
At 7?
At 7, you just go, you also go, where did he get this, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are you watching? Like, how does that even get into your brain if you haven't seen, heard, whatever, something like this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 7 years old, that's not something that just kind of pops in your head.
Yeah.
It's something fun to do.
And you, like, know about that shit already. So, we don't know. Now, look, no disrespect to Kay and Dilbert?
It was...
Dilbert?
I think it was Dilbert.
Working class, 5 kids, getting through the day, feeding the kids. That's about it, right? Like, we're not making sure that the kids aren't having fantasies about killing people, right? You literally just, like, whatever you do when you go to your room, whatever. I need to go to bed.
The 70s.
Oh, the 70s.
The 70s.
As long as your kids were alive, you were a good parent.
You were great.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
But he wasn't sharing
in
this
that respect,
when he was 7. He wasn't like, Mom,
no.
I was thinking this today.
No. And even him saying it, you kind of go, was
Where
it really
you?
At 7? I don't know, right? It's...
The unreliable narrator
him.
Thing.
Yeah. Also, what happened... This is a big one. When he was 11... He said he was molested by his Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Naughty, naughty uncle.
Mm. Uncle Jesse.
You'll never look at Full House the same again.
Exactly. So Uncle Jesse actually went by Jerry.
Uncle
later,
Jerry.
Which I don't know why, except for maybe the Full House reference. We're getting too much, right?
I don't want to be compared to that. That John Stamos guy, he's
right.
sick.
Ugh, gross. I don't know, except for that. But Uncle Jesse smoked a lot of weed, and maybe because of this, Carrie actually ended up moving in with him later on in life. Moving in with his possible abuser, right?
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Okay, so
it's
let's...
Not, it's not proven?
He
so
said
both brothers
uncle,
were fucking
said
molested,
uncle.
Raped and shit? Great.
Yeah.
Also, this family has got, like, the worst luck.
I know.
It was,
it literally is the curse of the Stainers. Like, there's a lot going on. Even the mom was molested by her dad. Like, yeah.
It's fuck.
Yeah.
That's a good title, by the way. The curse of the Stainers.
The curse of the Stainers.
I thought you were going to say even the mom was molested by her dad.
That's a long title. Yes.
A little wordy.
Thanks, Joel. We won't be taking that suggestion.
We'll workshop it after the show.
Yeah, thanks, though. Okay, so this timeline gets a little bit tricky, so let's go back into it really quick. Three, pulling out the hair, trichotillomania, he's on medication for it. So at three.
At three?
They're putting him on medication, ooh. Yeah. 11, he's molested by his uncle. And that same year, his 7-year-old brother is abducted, and it becomes like a big thing.
Shit.
In 1980, his brother returns. Math is something that could work here. 18?
So, yeah. He was 11? I think that he was... He was 17 or 18 when his brother came back.
Came back. Okay, so around 17, 18. Brother comes back. Media circus. Craziness all the time. He's
lots
in the
of
shadow.
Attention.
Yeah. He was already neglected when he was abducted. Then he comes back and it's even worse, right?
Yep.
He also at this point is like messing with his sister's friends. He's starting to exhibit some sexually inappropriate stuff. 1989... the same brother that got abducted now dies in a motorcycle accident.
Boom. I can't do it again.
How'd he die?
Smoking, drinking, jacking, jerking.
Motorcycle. Boom. Yes, motherfucker.
That's okay. The way a hero dies.
Yep.
It was a good death.
Yeah. No, it was like, he was...
Cigarette in
hero
one hand, beer in
through
the
and through. And that's what we're saying with the nature versus nurture, where it's like this kid went through fucking hell.
Much worse than what Carrie went
through.
Much
worse. And ended up being, again, by all accounts,
okay.
Great guy. Mm-hmm. He's not touching kids. He's not killing people. He's actually, like, doing good, right? So in 1990... We're going down the timeline. He moves in with his abuser, Uncle Jesse. Jerry. Jesse.
Uncle Jerry.
Weird. 1991, Jesse, Uncle Jesse, is found shot in the chest by his own gun in his house that they both lived in.
Oh, shit. Did he do it?
Now, listen. Carrie says he came home on his lunch break, and he saw some drifter running from the house.
Those goddamn drifters.
Those drifters.
They're
they
everywhere.
Come in, they just don't do anything, they don't take anything, they just grab, they find your gun, they shoot you in the chest, and then they leave. They don't take anything. It's a drifter.
Drift from town to town.
Just, ah. So anyways, that's his story.
So he shot him.
No,
not confirmed.
Not confirmed.
So he tells the police this. They can't prove it. The police, by the way, have a totally detailed account of what they think happened. They think Carrie did it. Everyone kind of thinks this, but they can't prove it.
Do they try to? Like, does he go through like a?
They question him about it. They go through the scene.
Investigation.
Carrie was one of the suspects in the murder. But they didn't have enough evidence to actually convict him for it.
And he had this story that was like, look, and if it's one guy against, you know, your word against his, that guy's dead.
And it's Uncle Jerry. We love Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jerry Jesse. Yeah. Jesse Jerry, I know.
I love my uncle.
Yeah. But like, all things considered, when they actually went through it, this guy molested him. He moved in with him probably out of necessity. They were smoking weed, whatever, whatever.
They were smoking weed, fucking...
Jacking, jerking, motorcycle, boo!
And then shot his fucking ass.
Yeah. So, obviously, but at the same time, maybe, back in the 90s.
Those 90s.
If you were like, this guy fucking molested him, he was fucking a low life. Anyways, the cops were like... Did he shoot him? Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We can't prove it, but I don't know.
I didn't think about it that way.
Cops will
do that.
You
know what I mean? It's small town.
Cops will do that for sure.
Shit. The cops know everybody. Like, everybody knows everybody. They're kind of like...
Yeah, in a small town, they're definitely going to know that
guy
Jesse Jerry is a...
Uncle Jesse Jerry is a fucking...
Yeah, Uncle Jesse Jerry.
is a creep, and they were kind of like, all right, Carrie, you get this one, right? Thinking that they're, like, doing something good. Like, look, we're going to let this guy, yeah, we're going to let this guy off. Like, he was molesting him. It was fucking weird. Killed him.
We're going to sweep this under the carpet.
Right.
It's the right thing to do.
I don't want to get into the whole
thing. Street justice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, again, in 91, after the murder that he didn't do, wink, wink,
mm-hmm.
he also tried killing himself with carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, fun.
Like from a garage? From a tailpipe?
Yeah.
The garage deal?
All they said was, like, gassing himself with carbon monoxide, which I guess can be a couple different things, but I'm guessing probably a car in a garage, right?
Or something like classic. a Dutch oven. You know, your partner shoves your head under the blankets, pulls the blankets over your head.
And then how do you get the carbon monoxide in there?
You
have a hose.
Out the human tailpipe.
Oh, just from straight just... human gas over and over again.
No, at high enough quantities, it can be lethal.
That's what a Dutch oven is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a Dutch oven.
Yeah, but can you die from that?
What do you got there, Jesse? Is that a spritzer you're making?
It's a spritzer. We got Yes Way, Rosé, and a Liquid Death.
Nice.
Sparkling.
Yummy.
It's got to be my last one, guys.
And Coop, what do you got? Hard AF?
Oh, yeah.
Word
hard AF. Yeah, what's up? Cheers. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers.
We didn't cheers this one.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, buddy. Okay. So, that brings us... Oh, no. So, in 1995, he was admitted into a mental institution after having a mental breakdown. So, the story of this mental breakdown is he's at work. He's working at some, like, glass company. And his coworker finds him behind the warehouse punching plywood repeatedly till his hands are bloody. And the guy's like, what's up?
Wait, how
bro?
Old is he?
Hey,
at this
bro.
Time?
Just practicing my
you
karate.
Good?
Go
yeah,
away.
We good. And he's like, oh, I'm just like, you know, having a breakdown. He's like, I'm having visions of driving my truck through the office, killing everybody. And the guy's like, cool.
The
I'll
fuck?
Be right back. I'm just going to like make a quick call. No big deal.
No
I'm just going to like make a quick call.
Boom. Nothing you need to be worried
yeah,
about.
No, you keep on keeping on.
It's not about you. Just keep,
yeah,
keep doing
yeah, yeah.
karate.
Punching the wall. Keep punching the
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, keep bloodying your hands and like talking about killing people. I'll
How
be
old
right
is
back.
He right now?
So in 95, he must be 30.
He would have been pushing 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was born in 71, right?
61.
Oh, 61. So, yeah, he's pushing
mid-30s?
40 at that point.
Well, he's 37 in 99.
Okay,
so he's like 32.
I know, guys.
How do we get three people
know,
in the same
guys.
Room that are just
he's 32 years
incapable
old.
Capable of doing math?
32 right
32.
Here? So he's 32 in 95?
That's too old to be punching.
Oh, for sure.
Walls.
No, you are. You
oh,
are
wait, he was 37
ship...
in 99?
Yeah.
Okay, so that so would have made him 33.
Ship has sailed, right? Like you're 33. You're punching plywood. Like
that's you do.
That's probably,
you do that till you're 21.
That's probably you.
22.
Or at least do it in the privacy of your own home.
Mm. I stopped doing that at like 25, 26. That's when I stopped.
You stopped wetting the bed and punching stuff. Same year, right?
Yeah, around the same time. Yeah,
around the those. Same time. Yeah.
He
yeah.
was a late bloomer.
Serial. So that brings us to 1997 when...
That's exactly what a serial killer would say.
Mm-hmm. Now we're in 1997. Great year, right?
My favorite year.
97, yeah.
I should pull up.
I'm starting high school. No, I'm already in high school.
You're already in high school.
Yeah, I'm a
Starship
freshman?
Troopers came out. Event Horizon came out. The 13th Warrior
Let's
came
look.
Out.
Great year.
Let's
Great
look
year
at
for movies.
What, right? Let's look at what
Spice
now
Girls.
That's what I call music. In what?
Eminem, Spice Girls, Marilyn Manson, Korn,
yeah, Marilyn Manson, yeah, that's a little after the Spice Girls craze, because that was probably more around like 94, 95.
Backstreet
I
Boys.
I think. I never listened to the Spice Girls.
NSYNC.
NSYNC was hot around that time.
Justin Timberlake.
It was...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Tub Thumping.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what's that?
I make a vodka drink. I make a soda drink.
Chumbawamba?
No.
Danny boy.
Don't you dare besmirch the scriptures of Chumbawamba.
What's the fucking hook to that song? I can't even think of it.
I get knocked down and I...
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't.
Bitch by Mary.
I'll become a serial killer if you keep singing that.
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. Yep.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
she had
sure.
a bit of a Maria
Love
Shriver
Fool,
jawline.
The Cardigans.
That's another great song.
Right?
Was that the same year that Romeo and Juliet came
Must
out?
Must have been. Must have been.
Great movie.
I Shot the Sheriff, but Warren G style.
The good
version Bittersweet
of the song.
Symphony.
Oh, the Verve.
Guys.
Which one's that?
They ripped off Rolling Stones and then got sued for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah. Great year.
Mm-bop.
Oh, God.
Ba-doo-be-da-ba-doo-wop. Do-be-da-ba-doo-wop. Do-be-da-ba-doo. Yeah, yeah. You're
welcome. No, Mm-bop couldn't have been 97. That was earlier than that.
I think it might have been 97.
It might have been.
Let's see.
Well, it's on whatever CD she's reading on.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe
released
97 wasn't
released in 97.
The, holy shit. I guess 97 wasn't that great of a year.
I will survive. Now, do you guys remember Cake?
Oh, my God, yes.
I fucking
yeah.
loved Cake.
Fashion Nugget, one of my favorite
Thank
albums
you.
Of all time.
Cake's awesome.
I Will Survive by Cake.
Good.
One of my favorite Cake songs of all time.
Of all time. Best cover ever. Every Day is a Winding Road, you guys.
Oh, God.
I get a little bit closer. You're feeling fine. Sorry, this episode just went right where I want it to go. Who do you think you are? Spice Girls. Good call.
Boom.
Yep.
No, he said that had the good call. You said it was too late for that.
No, that's her later career. Okay, if you think about a hit single from the Spice Girls, does Who Do You Think You Are pop into your head?
No. Tell Me What You Want song.
Tell me what you want. I
want to do a show where you just
sing
songs
I do.
That you
can
like
just
from
talk
the 90s.
About
the last
90s music.
One is song number two by Blur. You guys know you love that song.
Woohoo.
Woo?
Yes.
Who? Now let's get back into some murder. Sorry, guys. Little detour, but you got to. You got to
lighten it up.
Yeah, because we're going to get into some hard stuff. So that brings us to 97 when he is hired as a handyman at the Cedar Lodge at the gate of Yosemite National Park. He was described as a good, hardworking, nice employee.
He was somewhat of an everyman. That's what a lot of people would describe him as being. He didn't make a lot of waves.
No.
He was nondescript. A nice guy. Yeah, just... somebody who passes under the radar, like always kind of blends in with the background.
Yes, and I sense a theme here, guys.
He picked the perfect job.
He did, but also good looking a little bit at this point.
Okay, yeah, I'll give that one to you also.
Cary Stainer, unfortunately.
Handsome?
Good looking, handsome.
There's
Why
a
is
lot
your
of...
type serial killers?
Now, I think it's just the only ones I like. Are the good-looking ones. There's something so much creepier about, like, a Gacy, right? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
but
Gacy
like,
was not a good-looking
something
guy.
So much creepier about, like, the real repulsive-looking, you know, and I don't know if we're going to do a lot of the real just...
The heavy hitters.
Heavy hitter, gross ones.
Hall of Famers.
I think we're only going to do good-looking ones, Coop.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, great.
It's your show.
I can't go down that road. It's not as fascinating to me, right?
Well, it doesn't fulfill the fantasy.
Well, the handsome ones are scarier, right? Because
they're scarier.
They're
exactly.
predators, and they have a beautiful face to help them be a predator.
If you get into
you can't see them coming.
Yeah.
The reason why us white women like to, I think, you know, get into... true crime, whatever, read about it, get into it, is because the scariness of that good-looking manipulator dude. No, it's even scarier. The creepy-looking, like, fat, gross clown dude, you're like, nah, I would never even, do you know what I mean? Like, that would never even enter my life.
It's also
the ones that are, like,
too generic.
Right, but you also think, like, oh,
if you saw that
some,
guy, you'd be out of there.
Right. There's some BTK, things like this, where you go,
He didn't catch me. Yeah.
He looks creepy. He's got the glasses. He's not a thing. But the good-looking ones, you're like, that's the scariest shit. Because they could...
You could beat him
get
at a bar.
You to do stuff. Yeah. Get you to get into the car, the whatever, right?
But I can fix him. It's okay. He just needs somebody to love him.
So true. It's so true. Don't, Coop. Stop.
I can fix him.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it, like, all noble. But anyways. So, yeah, they describe him as a nice, hardworking employee. So now we are at the scene of the horrible crimes. The Cedar Lodge.
Oh, shit.
I think actually now would be a good... I saw a recent review of the Cedar Lodge. Because also, I know the Cedar Lodge is fucked, but like also, fuck these people that write reviews, right?
I've never been like to the Cedar Lodge. Why is it fucked? Because the murders were happening there?
You know, it's sort of like a side... It's a highway motel... To just kind of stop before you go. It's not luxury. It's not meant to be a fucking resort, right?
Yeah, it's a roadside stop.
It's a step above camping. Like, most people are in their RV. If you want to go to a motel hotel, you go to Cedar Lodge.
Okay.
But
do you remember the place that we stayed in Ventura for about a week right before we moved out here to Texas?
Yeah.
What was it? What was it called?
I think it was called the Travel Lodge.
Travel Lodge.
In Ventura, California. It's just off of Thompson.
Was it by the taco place, by Spencer's? Yes.
It's almost exactly across the street from Spencer's, isn't it?
I think about I've done drugs there, guys.
A lot of people were doing drugs there, not only do drugs,
but you can buy them there also. It's a one-stop shop for
it still bad?
Oh, yeah. It's worse.
Really?
It's the Cedar Lodge, except I think the Cedar Lodge was only one story, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, and kind of like spread out.
I don't know if it was always the case, because now they let people stay there like full time. So there's just...
I think when I was there, the person that I was doing drugs with was an extended stay.
Okay, so they've always been doing that.
It's one of those extended stay places.
Okay, great. Mm.
It stinks, too.
Two stars, not recommended. Okay, on TripAdvisor.
My wife disappeared, and I haven't seen
her since. Exactly. I got murdered.
That'd be a five star.
Don't love it. I got murdered there. So we spent 3 nights in the Cedar Lodge, and overall, the stay could have been more pleasant. The property has an eerie feel, maybe because of the 1999 murder of three women who stayed at Cedar Lodge.
Does that have to be in the...
Maybe it was that, right?
Yeah, maybe that plays into it just a little bit.
Yeah,
does that really have to be in the Yelp review?
Business went down since three women were murdered by a handyman there.
And they just couldn't keep up with that demand anymore. Because
yeah, this was in 2016, by the way, these people... These fucking cucks stayed there.
Dude, you could imagine if you stayed there and then like watched a documentary about the killings that were there.
They obviously know about it.
Right?
So anyone that stays there needs to be kind of a murderino, right? Like somebody that's like into it. Otherwise, it's probably not going to be great for you, right?
Yeah.
You're either going for that eerie feeling or just shut the fuck up, basically. the staff were not motivated to help when we inquired about potential road closures this time of year. It's 2016. If you can't go on your fucking phone and find where road closures are, this is a classic Yelp review, right? Where it's just like they want these people to do weird ass shit and give them one star if they don't, right?
You're not staying in a Hilton.
Yeah. They didn't print out a MapQuest for me. Like, no, dude.
About road construction?
We observed the milk that was sold in the shop adjacent to the front desk has expired. Okay? And
that's fucked up.
And we told them about it, right? These fucking assholes. They're like, hey, just so you know. They're like, dude, we're the fucking Cedar Lodge. Okay?
Yep. Yeah. Of course, the milk is expired.
Basically, what are you doing here? If you stay alive for 3 days, you give us a fucking 5-star. Yeah. We observed the milk was bad. Okay. We informed them to remove it from the refrigerator. They acknowledged and confirmed that they would remove it ASAP. Lo and behold, the expired milk cartons were still there the next day.
Oh, my God.
And they went back in. These motherfuckers back in to check. They didn't want milk, but they just wanted to make sure that they took it out of the fridge.
They wanted to take their frustrations out on some poor underpaid motel worker.
I know, the poor Cedar Lodge, right?
Yeah.
First the murders and then this.
And then first the murders, then the expired milk.
The crew did not do a good job cleaning our room, as the garbage was not disposed, and they even left their cans of soda on the table in the kitchen counter. I mean, that's a little bit weird.
That's weird.
Then they didn't get any of the blood off of the walls.
Yeah. The internet connection was non-existent. What do you expect? Were you trying to do an upload download there? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
What are their names? I want to send them an email.
Ooh, yeah, we should.
Can you reply to a Yelp review and give a review of
you
their
can,
review?
This is TripAdvisor, so you can't. But on Yelp, you can.
That'd be sweet.
We should start doing that.
Start reviewing reviews.
Yes, start responding like, hey, loser. Yeah. Are you alive? Shut the fuck up or somebody's going to come kill you. Internet connection was non-existent. Despite the front desk saying they would work on it, I can't. The fun thing about this review is thinking of the people working there being like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We'll work on
it. We'll take the milk out. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get right on that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Internet. Oh, internet's down. We have fiber.
We're working on it. We'll reset the router.
Mm-hmm. We got you. Let's see. The information on the roads and Google Maps via the internet was essential to plan our routes. Why didn't you do that before? And there was road closure. So no lunch is served in the restaurant. They only serve dinner.
Oh, my God.
There is nobody, by the way, at this motel, right? Like, it is at this point in 2016, after all this bullshit, is a ghost town, right? So these people are like, hello?
This sounds like the worst person to, like, go on vacation with.
Exactly. Fuck. And this just kind of vacation where you're, like, camping, you're, like, kind of planning your trip. Yeah, you're planning your trip as you go. You need to be chill, dude. You need to be go with the flow.
The worst person to go on any sort of trip with is the type of person that leaves reviews for things.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, if you're not just, like, at the Cedar Lodge, like, dude, this shit is fucking
this is awesome,
crazy.
Right?
Like,
yeah, that's a 5-star for the same milk? Reasons. Yeah.
Did you see the milk, dude? Take a picture.
This place
right?
is just as fucked up as I thought it was going to be.
Like,
it's
this
awesome.
Is exactly what I wanted. This is what I would be like. But, okay, so thankfully we shopped for food and groceries at Costco on our way to Yosemite and cooked the dinners in our kitchenette. So you had a kitchenette
in your fucking...
Yes.
What's your problem?
That's kind of the point is like... You're going there, you're not really camping, but you're kind of camping.
It's a little glamping-ish.
Buy your stuff, cook it there, you dumb fucking bitch. We managed to buy groceries at Half Dome Village, though all eateries were closed for the season. So they went off-season to Cedar Lodge and wrote this. I can't anymore, but anyway.
It was off-season too?
Yes.
You so gotta they went give to them like, a break.
All of that sounds
they went
like,
at like the worst fucking time and just decided to annihilate
that's
Cedar
all
Lodge.
Poor planning and unreasonable expectations. None of that reflects poorly on the Cedar Lodge. That all reflects poorly on the people that left those fucking reviews.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Plan your trips better. Go at the
you
right time
said
of year.
In line one, maybe it was the three murders in 99. Like, you know what you're getting into. There's a bunch of places to say. You decided the Cedar Lodge of the Cedar Lodge murders, which is actually a name. But anyways, here, let's get into it.
Yeah.
I just wanted a little break before we...
Pulling in, looking at it, you should be like, I know what I'm expecting from this place.
Joel, you're editing, so put the pictures.
Yeah.
Even now, I think it's going to look like these motherfuckers that wrote this. Like, you knew.
It probably looks like... What they said in the review.
Exactly right.
Why it deserves a 5-star.
When you pull into the parking lot, you're like, oh, yeah, there's been multiple murders here.
100%.
No,
like,
there's no internet. There's going to be retired milk.
Yes.
Retired.
Yeah. retired milk.
It, This place will have retired milk for sure.
The milk here is not working anymore.
This milk has definitely signed up for the AARP.
Yes. Okay, so Joel, buckle up.
All right. Oh, no.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Even though you're a serial killer, I know it's hard for you to deal with this stuff. So on February 15th, 1999, Carol Sund, 43, her daughter Julie, 15, and a close family friend, Argentinian exchange student.
So probably a Nazi, just throwing it out there.
Just to make you feel better, right?
Yeah.
Silvina Peloso, 16, were hiking the giant redwoods at Yosemite National Park. That evening, they rented Jerry Maguire and watched it in room 509 of the Cedar Lodge. Now, room I say Jerry Maguire because these ladies have good taste. I fucking love Jerry Maguire. It's a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. It's a good movie.
It's really good.
It's good.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Forgotten about.
I think it's...
I think anything that Tom Cruise does is amazing.
I don't think it's underrated. People know it's a good movie.
I think you kind of forget about it. Yeah.
The Show Me the Money part is kind of like a cultural...
I think it kind of made it a little kitschy in that, like, but it's actually a really fucking good film, right?
And also, isn't that the movie that You Complete Me comes from?
Yeah. There's a lot of bullshit in that, huh?
Well, it became...
Do you know the human head weighs 8 pounds, that whole shit? There's actually a lot of quotes from that movie.
But they became like a thing. So now it seems like it's a cheesy movie, but it's actually good.
But it's actually good. It hasn't been forgotten, but it's been kind of co-opted into like this.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Reduced.
Yeah. The quotes got played out.
Yes.
Yeah.
They rented Jerry Maguire and watched it in room 509 of Cedar Lodge.
It's a good last day.
Then, what do you know? Well, you know something?
They're going to die. Right?
Anyway.
Nobody dies in this episode.
They're gonna fucking die, right?
Right? Yeah, I'm trying to get ready for this.
He's gearing himself up. Okay. So 4 days later, they vanished, right? After that. Let's just go there. We will get into what happened to them. Just not yet.
Well, they vanished. They vanished.
We don't know what's happened.
That's what happened to them.
We're going on the journey. Vanished. So 4 days later, all three of them vanished.
Okay.
After their hiking, they're on this trip together. They're supposed to meet Carol's husband, Yun. Kind of a weird name, but anyways, for a total white guy, by the way. Yun.
White guy named Yun?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So anyway, that's why I just kind of glossed over him. I don't like that name.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. But anyways, they're supposed to meet him at the airport in, I think, San Francisco, and then they're all going to fly to Arizona. They didn't show up.
Oh, shit.
So then they're missing, but it's kind of like, all the 90s, they don't have cell phones, whatever. They don't know if they went off the side of the road, mm-hmm. if something happened, whatever. So they're still kind of like, what's up? 4 days later, a teenager in Modesto, California found a wallet with Carol's ID and credit cards. And at that point, they're like, okay.
Oh, shit.
Some shit happened. So now, foul play. Now we're looking for possibly bodies, suspects, all of that. Before that, it was just like, maybe she'll call. I don't know. So search parties comb the park. Neither the women nor their rented red Pontiac Grand Prix, good choice, ladies, were found. About 1 month after the disappearance of these women, a hiker stumbled upon a torched red Grand Prix with Silvina and Carol's charred bodies in the trunk.
Fuck.
It was the third one that really got to me, the description of the third one, which, like you said, we'll get to later.
Yeah. So Julie is still not found. So she's not in the car.
Mm-hmm.
He burned them in the car?
He burned those two.
Were they alive?
Carol and...
No, they were dead before he stuffed them in the trunk.
Again,
how do they know?
I'll get into it.
We know.
I'm going through the finding of the suspect. Then he's going to confess.
Oh,
and
cool.
I do that only because we only have his account of it, which you can take... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all dead. We don't know what actually happened. But once they apprehend him and he confesses, we can only take his story. But so Carol and Sylvina's charred bodies are found in the trunk. Julie was still missing. So there's a little bit of hope, but kind of not really.
There are some situations where you can still find some, after they go missing, even if they're taken by a serial killer, there are some situations where you can still find them alive.
Maybe the serial killer likes this one.
There's no evidence of this.
Depending on how she handled it, right? If she was, you know, ingratiated him, was like whatever, which she did try and do.
Kind of did a little reverse Stockholm syndrome.
Kind of like, I'm into it.
Good at a blowjob. If you give a good blowjob, you can get away from serial killers, right?
I've been drinking, so I can get into it. But like, I used to think that because like you do kind of go through all scenarios when you are a woman. You guys don't understand this, but as whenever you leave your house, you have to kind of have a game plan for anything that can happen.
How am I going to survive this day?
Literally, if something happens, you know, you think about like putting the keys in the fucking hand and how you're going to, you think about these things. You guys don't do this, but like.
I walk out the door every day hoping that I run into a serial killer.
Right? That's just what being a fucking guy is.
Just get it over with.
Just like, come at me, bro. Like, I'm having a bad day. Like, I'll fucking kill you, right? And you.
Oh, no, I'm hoping for the opposite.
Right, but there is a, you kind of, in your mind, can possibly overpower someone. For us, if it's not another woman, we're probably not winning that fight, right?
Men
no matter
thinking
what
about
it is.
How they're going to get fucking raped.
They're not like,
the
it's getting a little bit dark. I need to walk to my car. I need to have a game plan for every situation. You guys just don't really think like that, right?
No. Right. I mean, it
doesn't cross my mind.
Doesn't cross your mind.
Doesn't cross my mind.
Right? Unless you like see someone acting fucking weird and then you're kind of like, eh,
in that situation,
I could take him.
Yeah, then it comes up. It's like, all right, what's going on with this guy? Is this going to be a problem?
And
outside
you start
of that,
going through.
You know, you see any random weirdo walking down the street, if they're not looking at you,
I can take him.
Not even an issue.
Yeah. So I was like, if I was ever in that situation, I would maybe like act like I was into it.
Maybe as a trick him or something.
She kind of uses this, but like it's a way to, if someone's fucking crazy and they're doing that, like that might disarm them. You don't know. Yeah. Right.
I honestly think that that's one of the best starting points. If you start from there, try to
manipulate the person back because they're clearly fucked up.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you can figure out what it is that they're looking for.
Yes.
And give them some of that love, some of that attention. Like even just tell them like, oh, I know exactly what you're going through.
Let's do
so
this
sorry
shit.
This is
you
so hard
some
for you.
Or, weird shit?
Like, oh, that's so cool that you're into killing chicks.
Into
I'm into killing chicks too.
Can you help me kill
can
someone?
Can we do it together?
Something.
Ooh, that'd be
anything. That'd work. Like really you would try anything, which she does. But whatever, side note.
It is a good survival tactic. Well, is it honestly?
Like you honestly think of every scenario and what, you know, you thinking of the guy being a little bit crazy, what do you do?
Right.
There has been you know, cases where I forget what it is. We might do it at some point, but where a girl was like just started, you know, becoming like really loving with this guy, like in kind of like more of a Christian way. But she ended up getting away because she was just like made herself. She figured it out basically and manipulated him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're not strong enough to overpower this crazy serial killer. Yeah, that's
all we have. Because you're never thinking of scenarios of how I'm going to, you know, punch him or get him in a hold or whatever. That's not what goes through your mind.
Yeah, it's not like that scene from True Lies where Arnold Schwarzenegger is telling the guy exactly how he's going to kill him. It's like, okay, well, how do I do that without a Mr. Olympia body?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Or it's not like a J-Lo where she can just, like, beat him up because she's so... What was that? In plain sight or something? Whatever. So that's how you have to think of it, which, again, she tried. So they find the bodies in the trunk. Julie's still missing. There's a little bit of hope. 6 days later, the FBI receives an anonymous letter. Joel, you can put this up. With a crudely drawn map with a message that read, "We had fun with this one."
Oh, God.
Considering some of the other theories that come into play later, it's interesting that "we" is mentioned.
Right, to kind of throw them off.
Yeah.
Smart enough to do that, right?
Yeah, I have counterpoints for the arguments about Stephen Stainer not working alone.
Right.
Because I think that he definitely worked alone.
Carrie
Stainer.
I know. That's the thing. He did definitely...
Stephen Carey, same guy.
He did definitely work alone, but
yeah.
I think this was him trying to
throw him off.
Which is like one word, you're trying to throw him off. You still sent a map to evidence, but anyway.
I mean, Biddles and Watts aren't that smart.
Exactly. Well,
Biddles and Watts aren't on
this case. They're not on this case. Yeah, it is some real dum-dums, by the way. thankfully, Carrie messes up again, or else these fucking agents would not have found him. So, FBI agents decided at this point... the crude map that was sent leads investigators directly to Julie's body. Okay. She was found bound, and her throat was slashed. So, all three people are dead now. Boom, bang, boom. Out of the way.
Boom. That's one way to put it. Bing, bang, boom.
But anyways,
yeah.
Water we've gotten under
closure.
The bridge.
We've gotten closure on all of them. Yoon Sund. Super white guy, Yoon Sund.
Even with the last name Sund.
I know.
It doesn't sound like a white last name.
Carol's super white, too.
It's not none of those are like Anglo-Saxon names. Well, I mean, Carol is, but.
Right.
Yoon Sund? No.
I know. It's a lot. But anyway, so at this point, FBI agents round up a bunch of meth heads and sex offenders in the area. So you could probably find footage of this, but they're literally just grabbing anyone that had any kind of conviction, felon, whether they're getting their shit together, whatever, and they're rounding them up and questioning and arresting them. So basically... if someone's on probation, you can probably get them for something, right? Which is what they did.
Yeah, just rounding up the usual suspects.
Right, and being like, oh, you can always get someone like, oh, you didn't show up, you whatever, whatever. And then they told everyone in the area that they were confident that they had the killer in custody.
Oh, shit.
No confession. They didn't really have him, but they decided to let everyone know because people were fucking freaking out. It's a small town that not a lot of stuff
happens.
Yeah, and
it's funny that what gave them the confidence to say that they're sure that they have the killer is because they just arrested everyone.
They just like
there's literally no criminal left in this town.
Yes.
So we definitely have the killer.
Yes. They did a, like you said, broad net, and they just like a wide net, and they just got everyone that was a little bit weird. Anyone.
This guy's a Beatles fan. Throw him in there.
Yeah. He likes John Lennon. Kill him. So that was a little bit weird, but again, all the 90s, they're not looking, you know, they didn't continue it past that. They're just like, we got him. You guys don't worry. We're not going to like tell you if we got him. We'll let you know when the trial happens, but...
Yeah, just making the assumption that we arrested enough people.
Because we got all the shitty people out?
Yeah, we definitely got all the druggies and all those marijuana smokers.
I know. So fucked up. But anyways, they were proved wrong, obviously. On July 22nd, Joey, interesting name, it's J-O-I-E. I don't want to be like a Ross, but I can't really pronounce it. Joey? Joya Armstrong, a pretty 26-year-old redhead that worked for the Yosemite Institute, was found decapitated in a drainage ditch, and her head was found 27 feet away. Joel. Okay.
We've done three shows, and that's multiple beheadings already.
Okay, nope, so then you need to do your line then.
What's my line?
He cut her.
He cut her fucking
head
off.
He cut her head all the way off. Yep.
In the Tim Hennis case, he didn't cut all the way
not
through.
Not all
the
way through.
Because it was hanging by a thread.
It is notoriously hard to cut through a spinal cord.
Yes.
Most people will give up.
He cut to the spine?
No, in
this
situation.
One's fully off, and it's 27 feet away, the head.
Yeah, not only did he commit, he probably soccer kicked it afterwards.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He carried it and dropped it somewhere else. Yeah.
That's fucked.
Joel. Sweet Joel.
She was 26, and she was cute?
Yeah.
Why does it matter if she's cute?
Because who cares? He had a type.
She was a
fat,
human.
Fat, ugly chick dies. I don't really care about that.
Fair enough.
If a what?
Nothing.
Cut that out. Cut it out. Tire tracks and a witness who had spotted a blue and white SUV leaving the scene pointed directly to Carrie Stainer. So Carrie actually had been questioned when they were rounding everybody up and questioning and doing their sweep of the park.
He was a person of interest, but he did such a good job of blending in with the walls. And nobody in his life had anything bad to say about him.
Yeah.
Everybody that he worked with, everybody that he knew, they were like, oh, no, Carrie's a great guy. There's no way that he did it.
Where was the guy that saw him punching the fucking walls?
Yeah, exactly. Well, again,
probably buried in
all the
90s somewhere.
All the 90s, all these things don't get connected until you get caught.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a record of this shit, really.
And previous to that, the only other run-in that Carrie, aside from when his uncle died and he was questioned in relation to that, the only actual conviction that he had gotten was a weed conviction in, like, 1997.
Yes, and it was like, yeah, they said drug possession, but it was just like pot.
Something that would be legal in most states right now.
Exactly. Okay, so this, the finding of Joy?
What? Joya?
Joya.
Joya.
I'm pretty sure it's Joya.
Sorry. Kind of disproved the FBI saying that they have the killer, right? So now people are like, oh, wait, bro. So just like rounding up all the fucking lowlifes and drug dealers didn't work? Maybe we should have like gone after other people and done a real investigation. So they had to take a closer look at Carrie. And they picked him up at his favorite stomping grounds, the Laguna del Sol nudist colony.
Yep.
What?
Now they picked him up. He's at the nudist colony.
Is he naked at the time?
No, they pick him up fully clothed, eating breakfast at the cafeteria.
That's
like
against the rules.
A creep. I know.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I guess you could like eat inside clothed and just kind of look down on some naked people.
Do you really want to spill some hot macaroni on your exposed genitals?
And I think that's what it is. But also you can definitely pick out a creep at a nudist colony.
Being the only clothed
if they're
person.
Fully clothed, yeah. Right? Eating breakfast.
Something else that Carrie Stainer used to do on a pretty regular basis was he liked to go out into the woods and he would do nude sunbathing on his own. That was sort of his form of...
That's what I was going to ask if he actually ever...
He was kind of,
naked
I guess,
sometimes
like,
there.
Yeah, a nudist.
Yeah.
That sounds awful to me, but I guess...
I feel uncomfortable when I walk around naked in my apartment by myself.
I can't... Exactly.
Oh, I've been loving it in my new place.
I do it sometimes, but it makes... I still feel kind of like, yeah.
There are really two types of people in the world. People that are like, oh, now I can walk around naked, Coop. And people that are like me, that are like,
I don't like to pass the mirror and see that.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I don't like to feel it. I don't like to feel it.
I didn't say that I liked looking at myself in the mirror.
It feels different when you're naked.
I just don't like walking around naked. It doesn't feel free. It actually feels more constrictive to me.
To me, there's a certain amount of freedom to it as long as it's in a comfortable situation. But no, I'm not sitting there looking in the mirror.
No. You're not looking in. Yeah, not looking in the mirror, but you feel kind of more free.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I don't do it all the time. It's like,
do you slap your dick against the door frames as you walk around? Because I would.
Not by choice. It happens by accident.
Blammo.
Boom.
Blammo. Boom. So Stainer, once they picked him up, quickly confesses to all four murders.
Really? Just right off the bat?
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah.
He later is like, oh, whoops, and then pleads not guilty. But right away.
Initially, wasn't he still, he didn't make the confession to the cops. It was during an interview with the news where all of a sudden, like out of nowhere in the interview, he was like, yeah, I did it. I killed all four of them.
Oh, I thought when he was picked up, he confessed immediately.
From the story that I heard, he didn't confess to the cops. It was once he was being interviewed by the news because they were interviewing him because people knew about the story of his brother. And so he was sort of like, you know, the Casey Affleck to Steven Stainer's Ben Affleck.
Okay.
So they were questioning him, and finally, just out of nowhere in the interview, he just got quiet and then suddenly said, yeah, I did it. I confess. I killed all of them.
So it's on his confession's
on camera?
So
can they use that?
It seems like they did.
Well, because like I said, then he, when he actually went to court, he
tried to recant.
So not sure.
I just said that on the news for attention.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
That can be used as a defense.
Yeah.
All right. So Joel, buckle up.
Okay.
We're getting into his confession now. And again, take this with a grain of salt because it is from the only living witness, the murderer, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know if that's exactly right.
Did he throw the head?
Around 11 o'clock on February 19, 1999, while Carol, Julie, and Sylvina were watching Jerry Maguire, classic, classic. They were probably at the park, show me the money. They get a knock on the door. And Carol, being the smart woman that she was, thought this is really late.
She did play this pretty well.
She did. As well as a woman can fucking play it, right? Because eventually we succumb to not wanting to make people feel bad. So anyway, she's like, this is kind of late. She opens the window. Not the door. Opens the window and is like, smart. Hey, bro, what's up? And there is Carrie Stainer.
Fuck.
He's the handyman at the Cedar Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad looking guy. Seems fairly trustworthy.
He's 37, you know, good looking. Handyman, clearly the handyman. And
he's in shape. He's an in shape guy from the photos I looked at.
Yeah. And of that, like, California Yosemite era, like, looked totally like any other kind of Cali bro, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she opened the window and talked through there, and Carrie Stainer, the handyman, told Carol that he needed to do a small repair in the bathroom. She said, it's kind of late, can you come back tomorrow? Obviously, like, we're good, we're going to bed, whatever's broken, we're good,
we don't need it.
He said, that's fine, I can come back, but I need to report to my manager, and he's just going to send me back here anyway, so, like, can you just let me in really quick and all?
Bureaucrats.
That was a good one, though. Because it's like, then he's playing on her, kind of like, I mean, I've got a boss, I need to go back to him, he's going to get mad at me and just send me
back. She doesn't want to inconvenience him.
Exactly.
Let him do his job.
Best
way. She lets him in.
To get a woman to do anything is to be like, oh, you're going to inconvenience me. Someone's going to feel bad. This is going to be weird. Let's just make it easy. Okay, Carol.
Just go ahead and put your life at risk.
Come on.
What's worth more?
You don't want me to feel
my job.
You don't want me to feel bad, do you? You don't want my manager to be inconvenienced, do you? And she's like, eh.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. Boom.
And he's in.
Now he's in. Carrie entered holding his murder bag, which is something that
he had a murder bag.
Yeah, so I guess there are reports that he kind of always carried this backpack with him, even when he was working. People that he worked with reported that he had a backpack that later ended up being his murder bag.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that part.
What's in the murder bag?
So it's like, it's something that they talk about. I hate using that term, but it's like a lot of people like this, serial killers, whatever, in their trunk, car, whatever, always have some kind of like bag that has.
They'll have their kill kit.
Stuff in it. Kill kit. So it's like rope, duct tape, knife, gun, whatever it is that they need.
Yeah.
Cleaning products, whatever.
So he hasn't killed yet before. as far as we know. So this is like his first kid that he made.
I'm guessing he has.
You think he has before this?
He has a murder bag.
If you carry around a kill kit.
Maybe he just made his kit and he's like, I'm going to try my fucking kit for the first time tonight.
I'm trying. I'm like, ooh.
Finally got everything brand I need. New. I'm going to go break like this thing
super
in.
Super brand new. Okay.
He's got a patch on it that says kill kit on it.
He's like, I'm here to murder you, patch. So he went into the bathroom. He comes in. He went into the bathroom, pretended to work on something for a bit, and then came out holding a gun.
Fuck.
This whole thing of her letting him in and that happening, like, is the most tragic, visceral part of the story, right? Where you're just like, man, she fucking knew.
She had a feeling.
She knew it was fucking weird, and he was that good of a manipulator.
You think he would have pulled the gun anyway from outside?
No, not from outside, because then she would have just kept the door locked.
That's what I always tell my kids, too. Like, never get in the car, never get in the room, never get, keep everything outside. They won't, you know, do anything out in the open.
Yeah.
So even if they're like, we're going to shoot you if you don't get in the car, stand outside the car and be like, go ahead, fucking shoot me, because they probably won't.
Yeah.
Then he comes out with a gun and orders all the women on the bed. He took Carol into the bathroom and strangled her immediately. She wasn't this time.
Fuck.
A little too old.
Sorry.
In the just she right was in there, the way. Killed one of them?
She was in the way. She was 43. It's not his thing.
She
I'm sorry, but it's not her.
Might have also been the biggest threat, considering that she was
Smart and like
smarter.
Wasn't already not into him?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably wasn't going to work out. So he kills her immediately, puts her in the bathroom.
Fuck.
He then came back and ordered the girls to like perform sex acts together on the bed. I want to point out that he actually couldn't get it up, like during this whole fucking thing.
So he's the real victim in this.
The reason I'm saying that is because I want him to. I want you guys to know that he was that much of a fucking loser cuck and
fucking
sell
bitch.
Bullshit,
he couldn't even
right?
get hard during
he was that much of a
Fuck
fucking
him.
Bitch.
Yeah.
That even during all of this, he's fucking having erectile dysfunction. This is his fucking main. This is his fantasy. He's been building up to this forever, and he still can't get it up.
Give him a break. Because
he's a fucking loser.
It's his first time. He's nervous. He's never done this before. It's in front of an audience.
They're looking at him. Anyway.
They're
crying.
Yeah. When he pulled it out, they laughed.
Yeah.
God, I hope so.
That would have been great. But anyways, he's like not able to really do this. And Silvina, the Argentinian exchange student, could not stop crying, understandably. And he was like, bro, come to the bathroom really quick. Killed her. Put her in the bathtub. Because it was like too much. He tried again to assault Julie. It wasn't really working. Again, I'm saying that because he's a fucking piece of shit loser, and so we need to know that
his
dick wasn't working.
Good.
I think you guys need to know this.
That's a very important part.
It's an important part.
You don't want to build up any amount of respect for this guy.
No.
Because
you don't want him to be like, oh yeah.
And he couldn't even.
And he raped her, and then he raped her. No.
He couldn't even rape.
Couldn't
rape
him. Even fucking do it.
He was pushing rope the whole time.
God, he was really trying though. This
couldn't
was
even
his
thumb
fucking
it in.
Moment. This was his moment.
He just got the balls in. That was it. Okay, that's fucked up. Sorry.
And then okay, so then he tried. He took. It wasn't working. He took Julie into the next room. He's the handyman, so he has keys to every room. He takes her into the next room, turns on TV for her, and then goes in to the other room where he killed the two women, cleaned up, put their bodies in the trunk. He even put, like, damp towels and the key on the side table to be like, they just checked out, which they actually did think. So he did a pretty good job.
In
that they were like,
the
they just checked out. The maids just fucking cleaned and picked up the towels and what?
How did he put her in a separate room? Did he tie her up in there or something? Why didn't she just start screaming? And I would have jumped through the fucking glass window.
I'm pretty sure that she was restrained and gagged.
I I think, yeah. So they all were like,
or when she's honestly so terrified for her life that she feels like if she does try to escape or scream, that she's going to
get
shot.
Killed.
Yeah. One of the two.
Two it's people that she was with were just
dead.
Murdered.
Yeah, Fuck. It's unclear, and there's different reports of like whether they were tied up or whatever was happening. But I'm sure she was restrained in some way. They just don't really say or exactly write. Super scared.
Yeah.
She actually, at this point, because he's hidden the murders from her, even when she had to go to the bathroom, he took her to the other room so that she wouldn't go in and see that her mom and friend were dead. So she's, at this point, not
she's
even
not
knowing.
Sure.
She's kind of like...
She knows, but she didn't see it, so it's...
Right. So at this point, yeah. She's kind of thinking, like, if I'm good, cool, whatever, maybe I won't die, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's that element.
Because they
it.
Didn't follow the rules, so he killed them. One was crying
but
too much.
But she doesn't know that they are dead.
Right.
So she's kind of just like, oh, okay, they're in the bathroom. Like, you know, I'm not dead yet, obviously. So, like, he's not maybe trying to kill us. He's just going to fuck with us a little bit, whatever.
Mm.
You don't know what people think in that situation, right? Like, you're just like, oh, maybe he'll just leave if
you're not thinking
I'm
rationally.
Cool.
That's for
yeah,
sure.
No, yeah. Not at all. So he then, once he cleaned up the other room, he then loaded Julie in the car and drove to a secluded area in the park. He bound her legs and arms, bunched her hair in a ponytail, told her he loved her, and slit her throat.
Just as the sun was coming up.
Yeah. He actually,
according to his story.
He actually talked about carrying her like a groom carries a bride. Over
what
the threshold,
fuck?
This motherfucker. he then caught a cab back to his house. So the cars, the Pontiac's out there.
In
two
flames.
Dead bodies. Yeah, not yet. So two dead bodies in the back. He's taken Julie up to this area, killed her, put her under a tree, takes a cab back to his house. The cab driver actually says that he was like very nice, talkative, happy.
Yeah,
got his
all,
fix.
He's all, yeah.
Yeah, because he's a fucking psycho.
He's high. He's all fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also how he was able to get away the first time around when they questioned him.
Right, because he's just like...
the relationship that he had with everybody else that he worked with. Said, no, no, he's
great
a
guy.
Nondescript.
Nice guy.
It's just sort of like, yeah, he's not socially weird. He's able to, like, have a conversation, be totally normal, whatever.
Yeah.
So then he went back the next day and torched the car. So lit the Pontiac on fire. So that was those murders. Who's the Joya?
Joya.
When he assaulted her, he went to her cabin that she was staying at, assaulted her, and when she tried to escape, he had to kill her, basically.
No other choice.
How much longer was that?
So that was July 22nd.
Between those three.
It was a couple months.
Yeah, so...
Because the first murders occurred in February.
In February, they found the car a month later. And then they thought they had...
5 months.
Yeah, they thought they had the killer.
4.5, 5 months.
Then in July, it was like, oh, wait, we don't. So he's getting away with it for a good amount of time. Which is why he killed again.
Did
right?
he bury the body under the tree? Or did he just
he
leave
just
it,
kinda shoved
just left it.
It
there?
Yeah. It wasn't buried at all. It was just sort of like left
so why
there.
He,
but
why
again,
burn the other
National
one?
Park, by the way. Because it's a car, right? So
he's like, oh, I'll just burn it to evidence.
It helps cover up the evidence. For
and
sure.
Especially like with the bodies, they had to go through the process of getting dental records because they were unrecognizable. So right. like when they I mean, they found the car.
Gives
but
you
once
more
you
time,
find,
I guess.
Who knows what they think? Even with the Armstrong girl putting her head farther away from her body, that kind of gives you a little bit time, too. If they don't find the head, like, it is hard to confirm
identify a
who
body
it is.
Without a head, yeah.
So, yeah, he decapitated her to throw off the police. So,
fuck.
Don't worry, Joel, that's it. So
did
Carrie,
he throw the head?
What?
Did he throw the head?
I think he carried it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't
27
know.
27 feet?
That's
how
like
far
a,
is
that's like
heads
a,
are heads weigh as much as a bowling ball. If you
as
can
we know
kick
from Jerry
feet,
Maguire.
Yeah.
27 feet's like
the human head weighs 8 pounds.
27 feet's like the professional cornhole distance.
Try kicking eight
oh, so
pounds,
it's not even
27
that
feet.
Far, huh?
Yeah, that's like the.
So I don't know. I mean, Lord knows with this motherfucker. Like, what? You know what I mean? What yeah. happened?
Yeah, what? I know. It's.
He was probably naked. Okay, he was naked. He chopped the head off and then he just like yep. walked slowly 27
with
feet
the
and
head.
Just dropped it. And was like, ugh.
Or he was just like, okay, I need to separate the thing. Okay, that's far enough. It's like, no, bro. Like, you need to get rid of the head.
Yeah, I'm not sure
he's
if he was
so amateur, novice.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he was really thinking of it as like he's walking away from an explosion dramatically, carrying a head.
That's
it was
what
probably
I'm picturing.
Just like it was probably just a bit more of
well,
a
well, same like when he how he said the bride of the other one.
Yeah,
he probably had some like spiritual walk with the head. Yeah, he probably kissed it.
Oh, God,
probably gave it a
weirdo. That's
kiss.
Even creepier.
He's a weirdo. So Carrie Stainer pled guilty to the Armstrong Joy.
Joya?
I've never heard that fucking name before.
I don't know why. I'm sorry.
I've never heard that name.
The way that it's spelled, too. But anyway, we'll go with it.
I've known a Joya before, but it was spelled J-O-Y-A.
Okay, so J-O-I-A.
J-O-I-A. Kind of
Joey.
Close.
Maybe it's like
that's
young.
Joey.
Jungsund. It was like Jungsund. A lot of weird names in here. But anyway, he pled guilty to the Armstrong murder and was sentenced to life. But in the Yosemite murders of the three women, he tried a insanity defense after confessing and all of that. He tried insanity defense, but the jury did not buy it. Thankfully, he was found guilty and sentenced to death. He is still on death row in San Quentin. To this day.
Still alive.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
Still alive, son of a
motherfucker.
He just gets better looking, guys, too.
Does he actually?
He does.
Are you serious?
To me, he gets fatter. He's whiter, right? He's more pale.
Oh, God.
Right? He's, like, ridiculous.
So, Stephen Stainer died young. Timothy White died young.
Mm-hmm.
Parnell.
Parnell lived to his 80s.
Lived to his 80s.
Died of old age and natural causes.
At least he was in prison.
And then now, well, yeah, okay, yeah, so he...
Getting raped, hopefully.
Yes.
I don't know if he was even there long enough to get... Well, who's going to...
That, and I think he was on death row, or no.
Yeah, 80...
No, he wasn't even on death row.
80-year-old man in prison?
Mm. Well, I know
you can find some better tricks than that.
They pick on pedophiles.
Yes,
in
but
prison.
I think...
So he was probably in protective custody.
Yes. And also at a certain age, like I think it's kind of like... Are we really picking on the 80-year-old? Listen, I don't know anything about prison, but I'm guessing.
If I was there, I would beat the shit out of him.
I'm guessing we're not raping still the 80-year-old, right?
Well, no, because there has to be some sort of attraction. I mean, maybe if we're lucky, there was some sort of prisoner in there that had an old man kink.
Every time I walk past him, I push him on the ground.
Yeah, like I'm hoping he got beat up. I just don't think he's getting
if he was
raped.
In general if he was in general population, which I highly doubt that they would
Gen
keep
pop?
Him. Yeah, Gen Pop. You know
Gen
how it
pop,
is. You were
yeah.
on the
You've
inside.
Been there.
Gen Pop.
You
know yeah. I traded fucking coffee for pencils. True story.
If they actually had him in Gen Pop,
sure.
With him being a pedophile. Even with his old age,
he would have got
like pedophiles don't do very well in prison, regardless of their age.
But are they getting raped? Are they getting beaten up?
They're not getting
up?
Raped. They're generally getting stabbed.
Oh, okay, great. I'm good. I'm good with that.
The
like,
fact that he survived and ended up dying of old age and medical complications,
mm-hmm.
they for sure had him in protective custody.
Yeah,
because both he was a pedophile and he was an old man. They're not going to throw him in with the rest of those animals in there.
Right. So, anyways, Parnell. Who abducted Carrie's brother, Stephen, and then Carrie, the Yosemite killer.
Carrie's still around. The bad guys in these stories just get to go ahead and live their lives out.
Evil wins.
Evil always prevails.
But he's in.
That's,
he's fucking
that's a
miserable.
Lesson to teach your children.
He's now, fucking it, miserable in
is
prison.
Is he miserable?
Right
I bet he's I mean, fucking I, getting letters from sicko women.
Oh, God.
That are,
he
I bet he's fucking married.
I
bet
would not
he's
be surprised.
Fucking married, like the Menendez
what do you mean,
brothers.
Fucking married.
Charles Manson.
Married.
got married.
How does that fucking work? How do you get married when you're in prison?
Oh, dude. I should look it up.
Ted Bundy had fans. Richard Ramirez, who is not subjectively ugly. He is objectively a hideous person.
Ramirez? Horrible teeth.
Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus.
He looks
older pictures of him. Older pictures of him when he was at the Cecil Hotel.
You've got a problem.
Oh, man,
I do. I have a major problem. I don't like good-looking people.
You guys are giving me shit because I went to bed late. She's obsessed with serial killers.
No, it doesn't have to be a serial killer. I'm just like objectively talking about their looks. Like
you're attracted Ramirez. To Ramirez. I mean. You're attracted to serial killers.
He had a major meth head thing going.
Comment
going
down.
He wasn't
did.
The
no. He,
did. He didn't
he
have
did.
The dad bod that you.
No, I think
like.
I know, and I think in person, different story. A mugshot though will get me.
I think
they have a good mugshot.
I guess maybe I'm just picturing his court pictures where he like draws the pentagram on his hand. He's got the real creepy.
No.
Smile.
That classic Joel can show it because we have editing capabilities. Mm-hmm. But like his like early mugshots. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look at them all.
Yeah.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt.
I think I put them side by side by Ezra Miller. You guys know this fucking.
Oh, The Flash?
The Flash that's like beating up women all over town.
He's a future episode for this show.
Absolutely right. Side by side, old school mugshot of Ramirez and him.
Oh,
eerie.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay, I
just
can see
saying.
That.
Just saying. I think God, I just means- like people to be interesting. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is that's your thing.
You just want them to have passion about
something.
I just want them
something. To have, like, something
they
that's
have
not...
some sort of goal,
yes.
Something that they're passionate about, and, you know, they're enthusiastic.
I fantasize about not talking about what preschool we're putting the kids in, and what's the best, what neighborhood are you in?
It's much more interesting to have a conversation about
what
forest are we going to bury this preschooler in, or what neighborhood are we going to abduct our next victim from?
Right, or just, like, Just anything. What's your thing? What's your problem? What's your kink? What's your issue? Right?
What's your passion? What makes you feel alive?
Yeah. What'd you get away with? Fuck. now that would elevate.
That's a little bit more condemning.
No, but like, how great record. Would it be at a fucking party where people are small talking and you're just like, what'd you fucking get away with, right? And it's that. You're just like, fuck, what? Yeah.
And then you'd be like, let's go to the bedroom.
And we're not just like, it's not even bedroom. I don't even think it's sexual. It's just
straight to the altar.
I just want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I just want to have that conversation that's, again, elevated from small talk, above medium talk, into like,
it's like adrenaline rush.
Holy
shit. Right?
Yeah. It's definitely much
more
interesting.
Yeah.
If this show like blows up and gets real big, would you actually talk to serial killers?
Absolutely would.
You would?
Absolutely.
I think you would be better at it.
No
You'd
question
have to go
about
together.
It.
You would be better at it. I think.
Why would you just be there to protect them in case they get out alive?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously.
Have you seen Mindhunter, the show?
Yeah.
I've seen
it'd be
clips.
Like that. You guys would be like, you would be like Biddles and Watts.
Dude.
And then you go interview. Interview fucking serial killers.
Theme song.
What if we were Biddles and Watts? Yeah. Real life Biddles and Watts.
I'm a little bit more excited about the idea of actually getting to talk to a criminal.
Yeah.
By the way, like.
Serial killer? That would be fascinating.
I think they would, right? Like.
For sure they would, right?
Again, if you are in prison. Right? That's your life. I don't think, like, I need to check your schedule.
Yeah, you're not
I
just...
think it's like, if I'm willing to go there, and you're willing to, like, meet me as a fucking visitor, through the glass, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing the, like, over-the-table thing. But, like, if you're willing to meet us, and you have the time, whatever, like, Why wouldn't you?
You
professionals generally like to talk about their craft.
Absolutely.
If they're real good at something, they want to tell people about it.
It's about you having the balls to do it.
Usually narcissist.
Oh, yeah.
They usually are smarter. Smartest person in the room, right? They want to tell us.
They definitely like to think they are.
Mm-hmm.
In Ed Kemper's case, I think the majority of the time he actually was the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like that, again, that is the scariest of the like serial killers or things like that when they actually are fucking smart. And by the way, Carrie Stainer, not super smart, not an idiot, but a master manipulator. And
very much so.
Really good at hiding his shit. Because you would like to think that you would be able to tell, right?
But I think the scariest
ones are the people like him. Look nondescript, little bit good looking. Everyone loves him. The fact that that person could possibly get into your room and fucking kill you is...
Me.
Is the scariest thing, right? like Joel doesn't even know he's a serial killer. He's just going to, like, come up one day where he's like, oh, fuck, and then he just snaps, right?
That's how undercover he is.
Yes.
Like, what is it called?
That's the scary shit.
When you, like, are sent here and you, when you're a kid and it's in your brain and when you turn a certain age, it just turns on and you start assassinating politicians.
Well, like the Manchurian...
Wait, what are we talking about?
No, it's the old Amish tradition where once you get to the age of 17, they send you off into the wild where you just murder as many people as you want.
Well, just to see if you're a serial killer. And if you're not, you come back, you churn some butter, right?
You're like, nope, didn't kill anybody. Let's build some barns.
But I'm glad we checked, right? Am I wrong on this?
No, I think you are right. That's what's important about Rumspringa is you don't know if you enjoy something until you've tried it at least once. You got to get it out of your system.
No, I meant a sleeper cell.
A sleeper cell?
Yeah, when you like are from another country when you're a kid and you...
Oh, okay.
You get brainwashed.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a Manchurian...
Not Rumspringa.
No, not...
Okay.
Yeah. That's the Amish version of a sleeper cell.
Yeah. So I think the moral, like we said, the moral of the story is... evil wins, and I would say, and I probably you guys would agree, that if you are evil, you just are. In this case,
if you look at,
it's the perfect experiment, right? Two brothers raised the same, right? One gets abducted. Abused for 7 years, returned, crazy family life. One is left behind, and from age 3 is a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of just like, it doesn't matter. And the one that was abducted and went through the crazy fucking shit ended up being fine.
Yeah, he had his issues with addiction and things like that. But in terms of being a good person, he came out of it.
Understandable.
But he couldn't escape evil, though, the same. He didn't turn out. He fucking died in a car accident.
He did. And like we said, he was probably boozing on his motorcycle. He couldn't escape it, but he didn't have that same... Because let's say Carrie was the one that was abducted. And he already had that crazy shit, right? Like,
yeah.
What would have happened from there? I think even when Carrie confessed, part of the confession was crazy. But then they connected the fact that he was the brother of that crazy fucking
shit.
Story that everybody knew about, of that abduction. So the connection was insane. People could not believe that, like, both of these things happened.
Yeah.
To this family.
In the same family. Something else that I think is interesting about Carrie is after he was caught and confessed, one of the things that he requested was he wanted a made-for-TV movie about his murders. The same way that they made a movie about Stephen Stainer.
About his brother.
I think that there was...
There was part of that.
Yeah, he wasn't getting the attention that he wanted, which plays into the narcissism that we were talking about earlier, which I think is very, very common amongst all serial killers.
Absolutely.
Overall, I think in terms of a serial killer, it's definitely it starts with nature, and nurture just doesn't help. But it doesn't really need to be nurtured for that to progress into becoming a
right,
serial
I think
killer.
Maybe nature, and you have to try really fucking hard.
To fight against it.
To fight against
yeah.
it.
I think
fucking family had devil's blood in it. Because I think their family is just genetically evil.
They were cursed.
I know it's spiritual, but it runs in the
Fair
family.
Fair enough. I think there's a good case to be made for that,
the kid
right?
that was good got punished for being good. The kid that was bad made it all the way. He's still alive, doing right? great. I think
so let that be a lesson to everyone.
Don't try and be good. There's no yeah. point.
Well, you have to know if you're on the good side or the bad side.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you for joining us for Crime Corner. We'll see you next week.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.